Over 2 weeks in July, we heard speeches from politicians, celebrities, and citizens at the Republican and Democratic National Conventions. But what about outside the convention walls? Dustin Chambers is a freelance photographer in Atlanta. He photographs for local and national publications, and he just returned from photographing both conventions. Without credentials to go inside, he focused on the action outside, attempting to capture the human side of the zeal in this election cycle.
You know, I like doing intimate stories and intimate photography, but I started sort of as a street photographer, just like being, grew up very shy. I did not like talking to people. So a lot of what I do is just walking around and just finding people and waiting for the right composition and light to happen. And at, you know, these conventions, it's everyone is there for a show. Everyone is there to be heard, to say something. You know, there's no issue with me photographing them. You know, they're almost there to be photographed. So my challenge is to try to capture them in between their show, if you will. There's a lot of screaming and yelling, and I sort of think that once people get so loud, they sort of become icons a little bit more than humans, and I want to capture the humanity a little.
It's easy to understand, since you've said that you were shy as a child and didn't especially enjoy speaking to people, that the narrative you looked for was the camera unfolding the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us some of the stories you discovered outside of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland and outside of the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia.
Yeah, going to the RNC, myself along with a lot of the nation and certainly all of the journalists going, were expecting it to be super crazy. You know, I think Trump sort of incites a lot of intensity in his followers, and people were worried, and people were worried about the open carry laws within the park, and you know, just a week before, the Cleveland police asking for that to be repealed for the week, which did not happen, and it was so much tamer than most expected, and a lot of journalists, you know, it's really hard to say that they weren't disappointed. But it did give me this chance to look deeper into people's experiences there, because there weren't these big moments, you know. There was one person who burned a flag for like 5 seconds, and you know, the media just piles onto that moment. And other than that, you know, in Cleveland there was a beautiful park and fountain right near these four blocks of where the convention was taking place. There were some really beautiful dialogues happening within those spaces. I saw people listening more than I expected.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland and at the DNC, you know, there's people aren't going there to just like support, you know, a pretty big contingent of Black Lives Matter. We're at both conventions, but particularly at the RNC, there were a lot of people that didn't understand that movement and have a lot of anger and fear towards it. And instead, what I expected to happen, which was just this back and forth yelling, there were these moments of people really sitting down and talking.
Was that one of your photos of a man holding up a Black Lives Matter sign was in a fountain?
Yeah, a young boy. I mean, a bunch of kids were playing in the fountain, and even grown-ups. I think the fountain inspired this innocence and this just sort of playfulness. That was a really interesting factor in the space.
Even with the zeal of the Trump supporters, you said that the crowd outside the DNC was more charged.
Yeah, there were more people there. Even though it was a bigger space, it was still a lot more people. I mean, the Philadelphia layout was much more spread out, much less central. It was sort of like having a convention down at Lakewood, you know, in Atlanta. It was far away from the city center, and there were parks around it, which was nice. But the news that broke, you know, days before it began really, really got people angry. And
you're referring to the news that leaked emails from the chair of the DNC indicating that the DNC openly favored Hillary.
Yes. And there were a lot of Bernie supporters planning to go first place, and it really changed the environment. And it felt important, and it felt historic, and I was glad to be there for that.
You captured some of that in photos with people wearing images of Bernie. Would you describe that sort of collage effect?
Yeah. Some people had these very bizarre-looking, some were sweatshirts, but some people had jumpsuits that had Bernie's face all over. And it's sort of like visually embodied, like what it felt like to be there, which was like, I saw a few Hillary supporters and they were very intensely booed by everyone else. People were, and that was one of the things I was really, people come dressed up. People come, it's almost like a festival. They bring their props, they bring their outfits, and there is a show.
Police presence and evangelicals were present at both conventions there. Would you talk about that?
Yeah. In Cleveland, far outnumbering protesters and me combined, I'd say. It was interesting. They actually got police from many states around the country to be there. And in some ways, that sort of seemed like they were able to hold each other accountable. You know, the whole nation is watching. They don't want to screw up. And the same thing at the DNC is just lots and lots of police presence everywhere. And there were a lot of evangelists who I found to be very distracting and was interesting watching people be distracted by them, because they are certainly the most inflammatory individuals out there. It's in some ways they level the playing field because, in their case, every protester is saying, no, don't talk to them, don't engage with them. Like, that's not what we're here for. You know, the same individuals at both rallies doing the same evangelizing, and they really stirred people up and seem like they're really there to distract.
Having attended these two conventions in the course of 2 weeks, very intensive experience, what was the greatest takeaway for you, Dustin?
I think it's this idea that things are so far from black and white. You know, it's not two sides. There's a lot of confusion, and I am learning more and more about politics and how they work. There's a lot of dissatisfaction, but mostly just that it's so nebulous, that there's no, like, everyone feels very confused and lost right now, it seems.
Well, thank you for sharing these experiences from both Cleveland and Philadelphia.
Thanks for having me.